right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with Sandy Williams. Sandy, Ukraine preventative strikes should hit Moscow forces in Russia. A former Ukrainian lawmaker who is saying that the United States is tying Ukraine's hands behind their proverbial backs by not allowing them to attack the mainland of Russia.
Well, it's sort of an interesting concept. We're providing them with the weapons, which essentially are their hands. And then he says, well, you're tying our hands behind our back. Well, we're providing you with weaponry. We are providing you with some restrictions on the use of those weapons. And those restrictions are designed to keep us from being dragged directly into the conflict. And, of course, the Ukrainians have nothing to lose by us being dragged directly into the conflict.
Right.
You know, they're in the conflict already, so their fat is in the fire, and they'd like to have our fat in the fire, too. And so, they have a different point of view than we do, and we have to be careful about that, and the American public has to be careful about it. I've been from the start of the view that we don't have the real political, the geopolitical interest in Ukraine. It's not a matter of critical import to the United States. There's this ideological view about democracy, but ultimately our foreign policy, where we commit troops, where we commit our treasure, tends to be premised on America's real interest and not ideological arguments. Furthermore, we're sending a lot of money to Ukraine without audit, and I think we need to worry some about that.
You know, Sandy, and it looks like we're not going to move off of center when it comes to whether or not we're going to get even deeper involved. I mean, even though there's clamoring that we should, Donald Trump, former president of the United States, said again this past weekend that the United States shouldn't have been involved in this whatsoever.
Well, you know, I don't like Donald Trump. I didn't like him as president. I have agreed with him on almost nothing. But the fact that I don't like him and don't agree with him on almost anything doesn't mean that I can't agree with him on something. And I do agree with him on that. I do agree with the notion that Ukraine should have negotiated with Putin before the invasion, should have been open to negotiation at least, and the United States should have understood what that negotiation was going to be, because the alternative to that negotiation has so far been a pretty terrible war and some very terrible outcomes for the world. And it looks like a negotiated settlement for the war is probably going to look a great deal like what could have been negotiated by Zelensky and Ukraine before the invasion. So, yeah, to be honest with you, I do agree with Donald Trump about that fact.
You know, Sandy, bottom line is, as this guy, Luhansk Oblast George Tuka said, it's time Kiev.
Well, let me just straighten you. Oblast is like saying Milwaukee County, okay?
Oh, okay.
Oblast is a region, is the word for region.
Oh, so Luhansk Oblast.
Luhansk Oblast is like Luhansk County.
Okay. So George Tuka said, it's time Kiev launch preventative airstrikes directly into Russian territory. And then he blamed the United States for tying their hands behind their backs and not allowing them to punish Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You just stated, if it wasn't for the United States, this would have been over.
Yeah,
right?
We have provided Ukraine with the capability of resisting, of essentially thumbing their nose at Russia and not negotiating. I mean, it's my understanding that basically Ukraine and Zelensky refused to negotiate with Putin at the time that troops were surrounding Ukraine and Putin was announcing to the world exactly what it was that he wanted in the way of an outcome. The only part about that outcome that struck me as being hard to deliver on was the notion that there had to be a change in who was the leader, you know, to change out Zelensky for some other leader. I suspect that could have been negotiated. That probably was an item that could have been negotiated, but it wasn't negotiated. There was no negotiation. And my understanding is now that since March, there has been no negotiation between Ukraine and Russia. And the reason for that is that Zelensky has said that he's unwilling to negotiate at this point, and he must be being enabled in that position by the Western countries and the United States, because we're continuing to not only provide him with munitions, but sort of up the ante and provide him with ever more effective munitions, like these HIMARS, which apparently have been sort of game-changing in the field of combat.
You know, Sandy, part of this appears to be almost disingenuous from the perspective of the West, because they know they're not going all the way.
Right. Well, like I said, in the very beginning, I said my fear was that we were going to provide them with enough support so they could fight to the last Ukrainian. And the notion was, and we've even said it on a couple of occasions, that what we wanted to do is weaken Russia's capacity to ever do this again. And we wanted to weaken Russia. And then there's been some lip service by Biden and others, kind of slip of the lip service when he said he wanted to get Biden out of office. I mean, Putin out of office. That was just maybe a slip of the tongue myself. I just think that there's a lot of disingenuous stuff going on with respect to the West position here.
But this is war. This is not some chess game, right? I mean, after all, it's not some chess game. People are dying.
Yeah.
Countries being destroyed.
Unfortunately, proxy wars feel like chess games when you're on the outside. You know, the proxy, you know, we're providing lots of munitions and money and probably profit to the industrial municipal defense industrial kind of complex in the United States is prospering out of this, but no blood's being lost of American blood. And so it's a proxy war. It's a bit like a virtual game as far as America's concerned.
So ask about the diplomatic risk of shelling Russian targets using weapons provided by NATO country. Tuka said the difference between weapons provided by Western powers and Ukrainian weapons is just a political gimmick. So, I mean,
like I said, they have little risk associated with America's fat getting in the fire. In fact, it would, if America fat was in the fire, then we'd be in it on all fours by their side, total alliance. That's something they probably would like to lure us into. And as far as they're concerned, they're willing to risk whatever the consequence is as far as Russians' retaliation, because they think they're bearing the full brunt of Russian retaliation right now.
Well, so the arrogance of this guy, from the moment when any and whose weapons cross the state border of Ukraine, they become Ukrainian. From whom we bought it, how we got it, it does not matter at all. This is a political manipulation by the West and nothing more. I would think, Sandy, that if I'm Zelensky, mm-hmm. I'm finding this guy. And you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, politicians are free to talk, I guess. And so there's some goofy politicians. And this guy probably falls into the category of a goofy politician, because that might be true. The first time they use a weapon outside of our permission, I think their military experts understand it might be the last time they get that weapon. So, you know, they've got these HIMARS, but they don't have HIMAR rockets in an inventory pile. So they need to keep getting those rockets from us, or the HIMAR launchers are worthless.
You know, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be back. But they just keep on coming. What can I do to get on the right track? I wish they'd take some of these knives off my back. What they do? They smile in your face all the time. They wanna take your place. The backstabbers.
doing?